Welcome to the podcast, Sis, I See You Too, a podcast exploring topics black women seldom talk about publicly. You'll hear it all here on Sis, I See You Too. Here are your hosts, Cookie and Sparkle.
Welcome to Sis, I See You Too, a podcast for women of color and the people who love them. And I am here with my co-host, Sparkle.
Hey, y'all.
This is part two of our dating series that we're doing. And we have had some ups and downs getting this, but we found our spokesman for all men when it comes to dating, Theo. Welcome, Theo.
Thank you for having me.
You were part of the first session we did, and we had some production issues. So I just want to go back and ask you about doing that first episode and now coming back to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. First episode was phenomenal. I really appreciated hearing things from a woman's point of view, as well as the other gentleman that was here. Just kind of hearing his point of view overall, just kind of really appreciated it. And I'm honestly here and honored and happy to be, you know, here again, you know, for part two.
Okay, great. Well, I'm just going to just start off and then I'm going to let Sparkle take the lead. What are women doing wrong when it comes to dating?
Did you see Theo's eyes when you said, what are you doing wrong? That's a trick question.
No, that's a serious question, man. Because okay, as someone who has gone on some dates, a lot of times I think that I've done something like, you know, what, did I talk enough? Did I make even the right decision on going out? So what are we doing sometimes?
Yeah, I think I'll start off with saying, you know, just for the ladies out there, it's definitely subjective. So, you know, just, you know, I'll leave it at that. But I'll say, you know, kind of starting off, you know, and I've dated women, you know, prior to marrying my wife. I would say on the spectrum, if you will, as far as different races, different backgrounds, different educational levels, so on and so forth, age, you know, different age groups. I would say a common theme that I see amongst a lot of women, again, not all, but a lot, sometimes they take care of a man. And I think from the jump, sometimes they're taking care of men. I'm still going to give them that respect and say men who, you know, when you meet them, they are coming from a place of potential. And I think in a man's mind and just in a human mind in general, when someone is willing to work with you at that level, sometimes you don't feel the need to move past that because they're already showing you, you know, how far they're willing to go. So some men will kind of, you know, they'll take advantage of that. And if they're kind of, you know, halfway a decent, you know, individual, the woman typically is okay with that until she finally realizes that, you know what, you know, this brother really isn't working out. He's not kind of stepping up to the plate. So the first thing I would say is that a lot of women, they take care of men. They nurture them almost like a mom part two, you know, like a stepmom, if you will.
Oh, my God. Okay. How many in the room have been guilty of that part?
I don't know.
Well, I can admit that I have been guilty of that. I do. Because I think that there is this mother instinct that we want to show, you know, I'm good at this. I'm a good cook. I keep a clean house. I make my own money. I'm here to support you. I can help you. And a lot of times that's not reciprocated.
That is true. And I feel like it's just in our nature as women to be like nurturing and invest. We always tend to think of we instead of me. But there was a psychologist I was listening to the other day that was sharing something about the IKEA effect is what he called it. And it was saying that basically like a woman will stay with a man who is not at her standards because of the time and nurturing that she's invested in him. Like, she doesn't want to risk letting go and then him being that potential that she saw for somebody else.
Okay, so wait a minute. So IKEA, you buy the furniture in the box and then you have to put it together.
Yep.
Okay, I'm tired already.
Yeah, I was waiting for that explanation. I've only shopped at IKEA once, and I'm like, all right, I need an explanation for that. But that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. Investment, you know, a woman putting in her time as it pertains to certain relationships. I think a follow-up to the question that, you know, Cookie propose to me would also probably be women having a long list, if you will, of requirements or boxes that have to be checked. You know, just things that I've heard in the past.
Y'all don't laugh at me. I still got it on. I got a list, but it's I trimmed it down based on y'all feedback last time. But the color red is still on there.
Okay, we're going to get you some therapy for that. But the list, because that list thing, I do know that, and I'm guilty of it, of making this list. Now, I'm going to admit, I have a type. I have a type of man that I'm attracted to, and if that man doesn't fit that image of what I think, then I'm usually like, nah, that's okay, and I'll pass.
Okay, now, Uncle Steve, this ain't no shot at you because you did give us that book and you gave us, you know, some receipts to go by. My list is the way it is just because of the experiences I've had in dating and in marriage. So I'm very particular about how I date and, like you said, not investing in that potential. Like, you have to come to the table bringing something and not the stupid, what am I bringing, what are you bringing? Like, no, like, what are your ambitions? What are your goals? What are you looking to do that I'm not pushing you to do? Like, what is it you're invested in?
And I think to kind of piggyback off of, you know, what Sparkle was saying, I think where things get sticky is the table situation, you know, specifically just regarding some of those questions, right? So if you're dating a woman early on, a lot of men almost feel attacked simply because we're not used to it, but we kind of feel attacked or off guard when a woman asks those kind of questions, at least if it's early on as far as, what are some of your goals? To Steve Harvey's, you know, words exactly, you know, 5-year plan or even something as short as a 3-month plan. I think most gentlemen honestly don't come into situations thinking about those things because most women haven't challenged us to think about that. And if you are a man who comes in with a certain level of confidence, you just expect for the woman to kind of see that. And when she sees that, you just expect her, how can I say this, not to come at you a certain way. You just kind of think that she's going to, for lack of better words, and these are not my words, but speaking for men, fall in line. And so what I mean by that is kind of going back to that list. If you just take a gentleman who's, and it doesn't matter what race or background, college educated, you know, we'll give him 6'1" for the sake of it. You know,
210.
210, right, you know. If you give him that build, right, and he, you know, we'll say he's in some form of leadership, and he happens to be a man of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
I'm crying.
When you put all of that together, right, most men in that and within that range, kind of, they feel like they're already coming with a lot in comparison to their peers. So they, you know, they kind of are caught off guard when a woman asks certain questions because they're already kind of thinking that they're the full package, whether they are or they're not. It's subjective. But sometimes those questions in regards to, you know, bringing your own table, if you will, can throw a gentleman off.
Okay, now I could understand that if you're younger, a younger woman who says, and you ask each other, what are you bringing to the table? But when you're older and more mature and wise, you already got a table. You got a table, you got a house, you usually have a car, you've been doing this for a while. So that ideal of needing somebody to give that material aspect to you isn't always necessary. It's that emotional and that respect and care, that type of capacity that women at a certain age is looking for, right? Because my son tells me all the time, he's like, Mom, ever since Hot Girl Summer, that thing came up, he said, women are trash. Like, we think men, he's like, Mom, they are, all they want is the money. All they want is what you can do for them. So I think, just to be fair, it goes both ways.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially being younger. I don't know. Sparkle?
Oh, I'm not that young, but I don't know. For me, it's really, what are you bringing into my life? Not what are you subtracting? I have a lot going for myself. It just doesn't make sense to bring someone into my life that's not going to improve my life in some way. And it doesn't have to be financially. Like, I take care of myself financially. I take care of my child financially. But what are you bringing emotionally? Are you a safe space? Can I come home from a hard day at work and say, hey, this was rough, and like vent to you without a solution? I've learned you need to say either I'm venting, I want a solution, or I want an immediate fix. Like, no, can I just do that without being judged and just have a safe space? Or we disagree on something. Can we disagree without it becoming nasty? Like, what? I need that emotional intelligence. And there are so many individuals, not just men, women too, that lack that emotional intelligence.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think one of the things to kind of keep in mind too is coming into a relationship or just even dating somebody, knowing where they are, you know, on different levels, knowing where they may be spiritually, knowing where they may be physically, mentally, that plays a huge role. I think in my experience, and oftentimes, specifically in the past, you know, as it pertains to me dating different women, a lot of times they were the ones looking for the relationships, right? What I offered at the time, you know, probably wasn't a relationship. However, I did offer, you know, someone that was kind of like lending an ear if they needed to vent, if they needed to kind of, you know, get some things off of their chest. I've always been a gentleman, always been respectful of anybody, not just, you know, women, but just people in general. So I always think that kind of helped me as it pertains to, you know, women I've dated in the past. And you know, things have changed, you know, since then, I would say for society and just community as a whole. But, you know, from a man's perspective, the amount of women that I've dated who, how can I say this nicely, who allowed me to reach certain heights without really putting in that much work, is, you know, those numbers are astronomical. And it was just solely based on the level of respect that I came. Even though I didn't want a relationship, even though I didn't want to meet your parents, even though, you know, I wasn't really spending any money on you, even though I wasn't going out in public with you, the sheer fact that I was respectful, and genuinely respectful, not just like trying to put on, that was enough, you know. And that again plays a factor, just where are you meeting people at in their lives? And if they're truthful about it, right, you know, people can say whatever they want, but the actions should always back it up. You know, so that plays a huge part in too.
And you know what? That's a really good point. Like, you said what your intentions were. You didn't mislead. You weren't manipulating. Like, you were intentional. This is what I'm willing to give. Either you're going to accept it or not. But a few of the guys I've dated, you know what? A lot of them. Manipulation. Like, they present themselves as one thing, or like, yeah, this is a direction. And then all of a sudden, those actions aren't lining up with the words, which should have been my cue to go. But again, you know, you're invested and you want to keep moving forward. But that is manipulation, telling a person you're one thing and you're really not.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I'm kind of almost disheartened in a lot of respect, in a lot of ways, because as women, we do have a tendency to accept a little bit just to get that opportunity to be in the relationship. So what happens is, because you accept that little bit, sometimes we look desperate and men know that. So it's okay. So Theo, this is the question. How do you balance accepting the person where they are and that person accepting you against looking desperate because you tolerate certain things from a person? And this could be male or female.
That's a great question. I think starting off, one of the things that I would throw out the window is the time factor. So like some of what I heard, you know, just tonight was about time being invested, right? And we you know, as humans, we always look at time. Take time off the table. I think you have to go with your gut. I think you have to go with your instincts. I think you have to go with your feelings, because it doesn't take a while to see that, you know, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, we know the rest. And I think the same stands for relationships and how you view others, be it man and or woman. The balance comes into your own viewpoint and just kind of looking at people for who they are. As it pertains to, you know, myself again, dating in the past, or even just friends of mine and things like that, the balance comes in when you're being compromised for who you are. And when you start to feel uneasy, and you know, and again, I think it's important, you and Sparkle both touched on it, just kind of speaking of the point where it's man and woman. I think a lot of times we often talk about women being vulnerable and women potentially feeling hurt. But men go through the same thing. We don't like to admit it oftentimes, or we only have a select few of men that we can, which is why to my fellas, I suggest, and this is difficult to do in this day and age, although I don't think it should be, I suggest that all men have at least one or two platonic female friends, right? That they can.
Did y'all hear him say platonic? Platonic.
Platonic, right? And if you are married, to my married fellas or in deeply committed, you know, relationships, explain that to your lady. Explain it, but don't just explain it. Have the friends come over. Everybody goes out for dinner. Like, you know, invest in that because, you know, at that point, you know, that's pretty much family. You know what I mean? And part of that is me speaking to my own marriage and friendships. A lot of the friends that I have that are women, I've literally been friends with since elementary school. And this goes back to their mom, their father, the whole family knows Theo. And it's just it's a respect thing, especially as it pertains to my wife. You know, I remember one time I went out, I think it might have been with my sister, I can't remember, some years ago at the distillery. And I saw one of my wife's friends there. Wasn't my wife at the time, but we were dating. And I knew she was a real friend because she did what she was supposed to do. She reached out.
She called.
She definitely reached out, you know, but I had already told my wife that I was going with my sister. I took a picture of my sister to validate, and this is my blood sister, same mother. So, again, I say that to say that communication is huge and it's key in that, but I do suggest all men have platonic, even if it's a family member, a cousin or a sister, because it's good to get those sides. And the same thing for women, you know, have that platonic male friend, if you will, just to kind of lay things on to kind of see, you know, their point of view.
You know what? I actually like that idea, but I also want to go to, you know, when I was growing up, you would hear people who were in the church that said you needed to be equally yoked with that person, right? And from a biblical standpoint, it basically was two believers getting together. And I think now it's changed to be more than just that, but a belief in what you want, what you're looking for. Are we both going towards the same goals and purpose? So, you know, having those conversations are important. But I think the difficult part is in that beginning of dating. If you get too serious talking about that, both people usually are like, you moving too fast for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that was my situation somewhat. Dating my wife, you know, for a little while, and we were out to brunch. And I never forget, it was a Sunday, and we were out to brunch, and we were getting ready to leave brunch. The bill had come. And, you know, my wife is very intelligent like that. I think that was opportune time to kind of throw that question at me as the bill, you know, was being prepared. And she flat out asked me, you know, said, well, what are we doing? Because, you know, I'm not looking to just kind of have a partner in that regard, you know. And I, in my whole life, and I apologize if there's a woman out here who disagrees with this that I've dated in the past, but I haven't had too many women, you know, put that type of pressure on me. One or two in the past, but not a lot at all. And so when my wife asked me that, it threw me off. But mentally, where I was at in my life, I was at a stage where I did want something, you know, long term, and I wanted that longevity. In that moment, in my mind, still kind of not knowing if I had one foot in or one foot out, you know, respectfully, you know, I wanted to say, hey, let's just be friends, let's take it slow, you know, but I didn't. And I thank God that I did. You know, I said, hey, you know, I'm committed, let's do this. And ever since that day, 7 years now, I mean, here we are.
I don't have any suggestions because I don't date, so, you know, I'm not out here. I don't have the answer, Sway.
Well, you know, we're going to get you some therapy. We're planning it now. I'm working on it because I need my good sis to kind of change your mind a little bit, because I believe that, you know, human beings crave that relationship and that attention and that, you know, that connection. So we're not going to let you get away with that forever. For a little while.
I feel like I'm in a healthy place in my life. I'm at peace. And I've seen what's out there, and I'm not a fan. And if the opportunity presents itself in a way where I feel comfortable and I feel like this person is really about their business, sure. But today, no. And if you're wearing a color red, no.
I like it. Okay. So this is the last part. What we've talked about, what women are doing wrong. What are women doing right when it comes to dating? Or what could they do? What do you see? Like, based on your conversations with your female friends, what are they doing right? What are some of the things that they've done that has made dating for them successful?
Man, great question. To be honest, I think a lot of women that I know now, you know, be it friends or just colleagues, they're coming and they're coming correct. And what I mean by that is they know what they want in a relationship. They know what they want out of life, particularly in that moment. They're currently working on goals. They're beyond ambitious. And I think it shows for those who are mothers, you know, the things that women are able to do, be it from a physical standpoint or a mental standpoint, you know, woman is earth as far as I'm concerned, right? And I think that shows in a lot of women, which allows them to hopefully attract men who are on the same wavelength. So the friends that I have that have been successful, or family members that are females or women, I should say, that have been successful, that's been primarily it. They're coming and they're not taking no for an answer. They're not settling. And there's some wiggle room, right? Because the equally yoked thing, you know, I'm a, you know, a Christian man, and so I understand that aspect of things. But I also think that over time, and this is for men as well, I think our thought process around our type has potentially shifted. I know for me, when I was younger, and I would always use Jay-Z and Beyonce as an example, I think I always wanted to be a quote-unquote power couple. And I forgot one, of course, it was a Tyler Perry movie I think I was watching. And I think it was Taraji P. Henson and Morris Chestnut. And I forget the movie, but they were out to dinner. And the conversation was just about, you know, Morris Chestnut just spoke about, you know, how much money he was making. And it just sounded very materialistic. And Taraji kind of spoke to the same thing. And for me, it was just like, how boring is that relationship? Right. And that's just my personal point of view. But then I realized in that moment, and my wife now, we're polar opposite, complete opposite. But that's what works for me. Right. You know, me kind of having maybe a stronger Christian background or faith. My wife's a little bit different in that aspect. Definitely, you know, as a believer, but different. So what can I teach her? What can she teach me? You know, and I think for men in particular, one thing I can, you know, leave all men with is we got to be more humble. You know what I mean? We have to. And that's just especially from our brothers, you know, of Alpha Phi Alpha. You know, we have these macho men mentality at times. And not that we're not great men or doing great things, but I think it says something to a woman when we often talk about submission. A lot of times we talk about submission from the female standpoint and wanting the lady to cook, clean, so on and so forth. But from a man's perspective, what does that look like? To be honest with yourself before anybody else and be humble. And I think a prime example for me, when I met my wife, she had already had her master's and everything like that. It was a few years into her, you know, career. She's an educator. I had my bachelor's at the time and I had worked a few jobs and was enjoying what I was doing. And my honest to God, you know, truth, I remember talking to my wife and I said, hey, listen, I want to go back for my master's. And I was 30 when I went back for my master's. And I said, the reason why I want to go back is two reasons. One, you did it, right? That was the first thing. And when I met her, she had already had it. I said, but I never want to be in a situation where we're not able to do the things you want to do potentially or go to places we want to go because I'm, you know, kind of coming up short, whether it be in the career space or the money I'm bringing in. And that's 1,000% the reason why I went back for my master's. Had it not been for her, and she never said anything, she didn't care about me having it. It was, you know, that never was on the table. But this is something I humbled myself and said, you know what? I want to be, you know, I want to be there. I want to do that. And, you know, so again, I always give my wife that credit in that regard and a lot of things she's done, even from a physical standpoint, men's health. I know I've spoken with Sparkle about that, you know, offline before. Just so many things that I think men and women, don't get me wrong, but we have to humble ourselves when we're coming into these relationships because we can learn a lot. I won't tell people to get rid of their types. I think at one point I had a type, you know, and you can't help who you fall in love with or who the right person is for you from a spiritual standpoint. If it's who God wants for you, you know, all of those things and those those boxes that need to be checked, it'll go out the window because you realize, and my wife and I fight tooth and nail, right? As any relationship, we argue about the same things we did 7-8 years ago, but at the end of the day, I wouldn't change it for the world. There's nobody else that I would want, and, you know, I'm fine with that.
I just also want to clarify, my list is not like he has to be 6'2 and bald with a beard. Now, a beard would help, but it's more of like what I'm looking for, like emotionally in a partner, and some of my quirks. Like, I want to be a passenger princess. I don't want to have to drive all the time. That is definitely on the list. Like, it's on there.
You don't want to drive ever? Some, no, what about sometimes?
Sometimes. Sometimes it's okay, but like, I drive all day for work. I'm driving my daughter around. On the weekend when we want to go somewhere, I want you to pick me up and drive me there. Like, hello.
Fair enough.
Okay. Well, you know what? I want to thank you, Theo, because I have learned some things from you.
I think
and just
you are.
Hearing this from a man's point of view as to what, you know, women and men can do to maybe increase the opportunities for them to date. Because, you know, you hear things, well, if you're a woman and you want to meet men, go to a cigar bar, go to the golf course, go here, go there. But I really do think it is, you know, it just happens. You meet that person, and sometimes it's in God's timing a lot of times. It just, you have, it's the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the right time, and you just meet that person. So I want to thank you for coming back and speaking
thank
with
you.
Us.
Thank you for having me.
At Sis, I See You Too. And I want to thank Sparkle for just being willing and open to the therapy that I'm working on getting her for this color red. We're going to work on you, girl. I'm going to work on you with this one.
It's not a bad color. It just, why is it always red?
I love it. Well, listen, I want to thank you, and thank you for listening to Sis, I See You Too at WDKX.com.